Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
We're looking forward to the long weekend. In the U.S., all eyes are on one of the biggest days in its current earnings season. You've got a lot of big tech names set to announce their earnings.
Yeah, that's right. The tech titans, the big four, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, and Alphabet.
Yep. Then we also are awaiting U.S. second quarter GDP numbers. And, well, from the looks of things, it's probably going to show the worst contraction in U.S. economic activity in the post-World War II era.
Yeah, but nothing we weren't expecting.
True,
it's
very true.
You know, how does it match up with expectations? That's going to be the big question.
Let's get the bigger picture with Shane Oliver, Chief Economist and Head of Investment Strategy at AMP Capital. Shane, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thanks for taking the time.
Wow, Shane, you're sounding chipper. I wonder if you'll be sounding that way if anyone of Apple, Amazon, Alphabet and Facebook, which are all reporting second quarter earnings later today, comes in lower than expected. I mean, what are you expecting and how are the markets likely to react?
Well, the expectation is that these companies will see reasonably good results. I mean, they should all be beneficiaries, generally speaking, of the coronavirus shock, unlike much of the rest of the U.S. share market. I mean, the key sectors that have benefited have been tech stocks and healthcare stocks. That said, they have had a massive run over many, many years. Their valuation measures are very, very high. So you could argue that they are priced for perfection, to borrow that old term from the tech boom over 20 years ago. And that does mean higher than greater risk. They really need to surprise more on the upside compared to other stocks to keep going higher in price. So there is a lot of nervousness around these stocks. And in fact, you know, the so-called FANG stocks, Facebook, Amazon, Apple, I think Netflix or something like that, Microsoft, and Google, you know, have accounted for something like half of the rise in the U.S. share market over the last 5 years. So there is a lot riding on these results.
But at the same time, you also have that testimony in the Congressional Antitrust Panel, the CEOs of Apple, Amazon, Alphabet and Facebook. What kind of implications are we looking at where this hearing is concerned?
Well, that's a big one. Some people think that it's a bit like when the telecommunications monopoly was broken up in the US many, many decades ago. There is ongoing political pressure on these stocks. They have had massive growth. They're now seen almost as being utility stocks, and therefore the political questioning is whether they should be able to maintain their monopolies, so to speak. I mean, their success is now posing a big threat to them, and that political pressure is growing. If Trump loses the election, the political pressure could grow even further. So that's a big issue, I think, for the tech stocks going forward, and this issue has a long way to go.
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to see markets spin on any headline around any of that. Speaking of headlines, one of the big ones is going to be U.S. second quarter GDP, that report set to be released later today and before the session in the US. And it's going to show us quite how much the US economy was hit during the lockdown in the second quarter. Economists expecting a 34.7% decline. What are you saying?
We're not really disagreeing with that. It should be pointed out that 34.7% decline is an annualized number. So you really need to divide it by four to get something comparable to what we talk about in our part of the world. So it's probably about 8%, 8 or 9% decline. To be honest with you, a few months ago when the shutdown was in full force in the US, I was looking for something like a 10 or 12% decline. So if it comes in around 8 or 9%, that is a little bit less than I and I think most others had feared a few months ago. At one point, I think that expectation on an annualized basis was minus 40%, not the minus 35% we're now hearing about. So providing it comes in around that number, there will be a lot of talk about it. It will confirm there was a huge hit to the US economy. But if it's not any worse than expected, then I think most investors will say, yeah, we knew that. Key issue is, how is the recovery going? Is coronavirus coming under control? What the Fed is doing and so on. So I don't think it's going to be a huge focus, providing it's around the market expectation.
Yeah, we'll get to the Fed in just a second, but I was curious to understand when we get all of the figures, because we get sort of a raft of, you know, it's like having one big headline and then lots of bullet points to the GDP. Mm. Will there be anything in particular that we need to look for? And to what extent is it already priced in?
To be honest with you, I think it's mostly priced in. I'm going to be looking at the consumption number, because consumption is probably a part of the US economy that was most hit, particularly consumer services, not so much retail sales, but consumer services. There, the expectation is actually fairly similar to the GDP number. It's about minus 34.5% on an annualized basis. So that's going to be looked at. You'd normally look at the deflators, the inflation indicators, but they're taking a bit of a backseat now. And I think we all know that the hit to economy is deflationary or disinflationary. It's going to keep inflation down. But I think the key in all of this is that it's been talked about for so long. It's going to be the worst hit to the US economy since I think the Great Depression. And it's a similar story in Europe. Japan, we've already seen that in Singapore, similar in Australia where I am. But I guess we should all know that. I mean, it's been talked about now for the last 3 or 4 months, so it shouldn't really come as a surprise when the figures are finally reported.
Shane Oliver, Chief Economist and Head of Investment Strategy at AMP Capital, on the line with us. Shane, any thoughts on the Fed meeting? I mean, it was kind of as expected, right? No major moves, but an indication that they're prepared to do anything that they need to. What are your thoughts?
No great surprises from the Fed. I was expecting that it would remain dovish. It certainly did. I think at the moment the market is sort of hanging out for the outcome of the Fed's policy review, which Fed Chairman Powell said would be ready soon, which may be shorthand for ready by the September meeting. That policy review will be quite significant, because it's probably going to show that the Fed is moving towards an average inflation target. In other words, inflation should average the 2% level over time. Therefore, it follows that if you go through a long period where inflation is below 2%, like we are at the moment, then they would be prepared to tolerate a long period where inflation was above 2% to get that averaging over time. That in itself, I think, is very, very dovish. If they do go down that direction, which I think they will, then it will mean that they will be prepared to leave interest rates down at very, very low levels, undertake more quantitative easing, et cetera, well beyond the time when inflation's actually gone above 2%, because that they want to see a period where inflation averages above 2%, runs above 2% to work out the average over time. So that would be very dovish. I think also in the September meeting, there's an expectation that they will move towards more explicit forward guidance based on outcomes for things like growth and inflation and employment. And they'll probably also announce a more definitive target for the amount of quantitative easing that they will do, whereas at the moment it's a little bit vaguer. So that's why the market overall thought, well, okay, they're going in the right direction. Powell is still very dovish. We'll wait for the September meeting and see what happens there in a more substantive sense.
Meanwhile, something that's been, I won't even say it's been creeping up, it's been rallying, you know, unabatedly. It's gold on course for its biggest annual increase in more than a decade. And again, this is all the concern over COVID-19. That's not gone away, the damage to economies. And then we think about inflationary expectations, where the dollar is. What do you make of this story?
To be honest with you, it does cause excitement, because the gold price has gone to a record high. It's now above at $1,965 an ounce. Gold is now above its 2011 high, which was about $1,920 an ounce. So it's broken out to a new high. Of course, over that 9-year period, it hasn't done a lot. It collapsed initially, and then it's ground higher over the last 5 years. But that does create excitement, the very fact that it's gone to a high. I think we need to sort of think about what's driven it. It's that the more recent breakout to a new high has been driven by a decline in the value of the US dollar. So many commodities are priced in US dollars. So when the US dollar goes down, it makes it easier for those commodities like oil, gold, metals like copper to go up in price. So that's what we've seen there. I think the other aspect is that the cost of holding gold now is ultra low. Interest rates are very low. So if you're holding gold, you don't get any capital growth. You don't get any and you don't get any income, the alternative isn't that much better. So a lot of people are saying, well, okay, I might as well hold gold and take a punt on whether it rises or not. But the big point, I think, is that many investors are thinking, well, you've got all this money printing by central banks. Maybe that's going to depress the value of traditional paper currencies, and gold provides a bit of a hedge against that. So all of those things have pushed the gold price up. But in a big picture sense, some of those are negative, that desire for a safe haven, but some are also positive. You know, if gold is going up at the same time as oil and metal prices, then that's presumably a sign that the global economy is healing and starting to grow again. So, yes, we're seeing a dramatic move there, but it's not all negative. It may actually be a sign that things might be starting to look better down the track.
Well, there you go. That's the bigger picture. We've been speaking with Shane Oliver, Chief Economist and Head of Investment Strategy at AMP Capital. Shane, thanks for your time. Take care and stay safe.
My pleasure. You too.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.